You can't go very far online these days without running into articles and pop-ups hyping a particular leafy green plant. It's not marijuana, but it's close. I'm talking about industrial hemp.
3 tablespoons contains 10 grams of protein.
So in other words, hemp and CBD will get you healthy, not get you high.
It is a mold-resistant, rot-resistant, pest-resistant, fire-resistant, carbon-negative building material.
To some, it's a superfood. To others, a super cure or a super crop. But even with its growing availability and rising acceptance, surprisingly, hemp is actually illegal to grow in the U.S. outside of some small research projects. The 2018 Farm Bill is where that could change.
I think it's time we took this step. I think everybody's now figured it out. This is not the other plant.
I mean, this hemp deal's kind of fallen in our lap at the exact perfect time. We need to find something else to grow. We need a rotation.
From NET, Nebraska's PBS and NPR stations, this is On the Table, a podcast that brings you behind-the-scenes stories of our food system and explains how one law, the Farm Bill, has a surprising influence over what you eat and how it's raised. I'm Grant Gerlach.
They look exactly the same, and they actually smell exactly the same, which I was really surprised the first time I was out on a hemp farm. I was kind of taken aback that this was not marijuana.
That's Esther Honig, a reporter for Harvest Public Media, based at KUNC in Greeley, Colorado. She's been reporting on the emerging hemp industry there, where recreational marijuana is also legal.
The main distinguishing factor between the two is that hemp does not produce nearly the amount of THC that marijuana does. And the THC, of course, is the component of marijuana that gets you high when you smoke it or ingest it.
The 2014 Farm Bill does allow for limited hemp production, but only for research, not for commercial purposes. You would think that would direct the states on how to handle hemp, yet people are obviously growing it on a commercial scale in Colorado. See why it's confusing?
Basically, what Colorado has done is say, this is legal within our state under our guidelines and regulations, and they're basically just ignoring the federal ban on hemp. It's still considered a Schedule I drug at the federal level, but Colorado officials have come out and said, we think this is an industry that's worth pursuing. We think it can bring a vital source of income for our farmers, so we're just going to let it be grown, but, you know, they keep a very close watch on the folks who grow it. But so far, you know, there haven't been any major issues with growing hemp. And Colorado is now the number one producer of the crop in the country, basically in full violation of that federal law.
So farmers are growing hemp. What can they do with it? And I mean, can they sell it? Can it just go anywhere after they've grown it?
What I've read within the regulations, at least as far as Colorado is concerned, they're kind of saying, don't sell it across state lines. We don't really have any control of that. And we're not gonna, you know, give you any advice in terms of moving this across state lines or selling it across state lines. It's basically kind of like, don't do it. And if you do, it's up to the feds to decide how they handle it.
Consider this. 41 states have taken some step toward legalizing hemp production, even if it's just for research. And all this is happening while it's still technically illegal at the federal level to grow it. Now, in the early days of the U.S., it was a different picture.
It's played a big part in our country's history. I mean, it used to be far more vital for creating textiles and cloth and paper. And in our country's history, it was really important for creating cordage. So it was heavily relied on by the U.S. Navy for sails and rope. And it was actually a really strong industry in places like Kentucky, Missouri, and Illinois.
Over time, though, hemp was displaced by cotton and imported crops like jute that became more common for rope. And then it became targeted by campaigns against marijuana use in the early 1900s. Have you ever seen a clip from that movie, Reefer Madness?
Marijuana, the burning weed with its roots in hell.
Several states passed laws banning marijuana and hemp. Then in 1937, the Federal Marijuana Tax Act became law. again, cracking down on marijuana, but also requiring farmers who wanted to grow hemp to have a license. Hemp production fell further. Then, during World War II, it had a brief resurgence.
We needed the ability to do things like make rope, and so suddenly hemp was allowed to be grown again.
American farmers were enlisted to plant more than 300,000 acres of hemp.
Hemp for mooring ships. Hemp for tow lines.
But after the war, hemp quickly went out of favor again as it was wrapped up into efforts to crack down on drug use. When part of the Marijuana Tax Act was ruled unconstitutional in 1969, the Controlled Substances Act was passed into law, lumping hemp in with marijuana as an illegal substance. But that could change in the 2018 Farm Bill. This Farm Bill could take hemp out of the Controlled Substances Act and set guidelines to make it a legal crop again. When this has come up at the state level in places like Kentucky and Colorado, law enforcement groups have argued against legalizing industrial hemp because of the trouble distinguishing it from marijuana in the field. The U.S. Department of Justice declined to comment on the Farm Bill proposal. Greg Ibaugh, Undersecretary for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, has said the administration is concerned that nationwide legalization could burden the current market with an oversupply of hemp, that it would actually undermine the industry. Yet the idea has some powerful support.
It's largely being pushed by Mitch McConnell.
Younger farmers in my state are particularly interested in going in this direction.
That's Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader and a hemp industry booster, which might be a surprise because he is a conservative Republican.
I don't think they ever thought that they would have the Kentucky Republican in their corner pushing for hemp. But that is largely to do with constituents in his own state. Kentucky relied for years on the tobacco crop or the tobacco industry, and that industry is trending downward. That crop isn't as valuable as it used to be, and so he sees hemp as offering some potential relief for his farmers.
Farmers don't expect to revive the hemp industry just by making rope or plastic like the old days. They have their eye on a newer, more lucrative market, raising hemp for cannabidiol oil, or CBD oil, which some people use as a home remedy.
People tout it being used for everything from arthritis to stress, but actually, very interestingly, the FDA recently approved a drug called Epidiolex, and that's used to treat epilepsy. And so the FDA approved it. The DEA has also approved the use of it. So you do see it being used in, the medical field. Right now, a lot of growers are selling it to local producers who are making it into tinctures, drinks, chocolates, bath bombs, everything you can think of, really, even dog treats. People are putting CBD into these things and, just promoting it as an overall health stimulator.
There are farmers hoping to fill this demand for CBD oil and other hemp products. But even if they're willing to make the switch to growing hemp, the process can seem almost impossible. I wanted to talk to a farmer who looks at hemp as a way to save their livelihood, to hear what they think it will take to make that happen. And I probably could have found someone from just about any corner of the country. Kentucky or Oregon, Wisconsin, Colorado.
Oh, absolutely. And we need it.
I ended up talking to John Currier, who owns Badlands Provisions, a farm out of Brawley, California, down at the southern end of the state.
We're kind of right up next to the Mexico border. Mexicali, Mexico is our border town.
His family started the farm four generations ago in a place called the Imperial Valley. The valley is really in a desert, but there are lush farms there thanks to water diverted from the Colorado River.
Basically, we started in the late 40s, early 50s with my great-grandpa. I got my sons right now that are 13 and 17, and they're working on the farm. So they're considered my fourth generation right now, and I'm hoping that they take the farm over for me someday and I can start relaxing a little bit.
The Imperial Valley is filled with farms like Currier's. The climate there makes it possible to grow hardy vegetables in the winter.
I tell people all the time that, you know, over the last 30 years, if you eat broccoli, lettuce, cauliflower, or onions, you've probably eaten my product. I mean, this is kind of known as America's winter produce basket.
But Courier says business in the Valley is changing. Farms are consolidating and adding vegetable production across the border where labor is cheap. Under NAFTA, that produce can be shipped to stores in the U.S. tariff-free. The same would be true under the new U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement. Courier echoes complaints from growers in states like Florida and Georgia who say imported boxes of tomatoes or lettuce or broccoli come back at prices below the cost of production in the U.S.
It's kind of priced us out of the market. My break-even is about $10 a box, and in the last 2 years, I've averaged about $7.50. So it's just kind of the writing's on the wall that I need to look for something else, and that's kind of where this hemp deal's falling in place right now.
Courier believes that hemp might be the crop that saves his farm for the next generation. But there are so many confusing laws and so many complications to growing hemp. For starters, can he even afford to change his whole operation?
You know, it seems that this hemp deal can be lucrative. It's definitely not as easy as people think, and it's pretty darn expensive to grow.
Walk me through. I mean, you must have kind of done the math here. You said it's an expensive crop to grow. What makes it expensive, and how does all that pencil out?
Yeah, well, you know, the cost, the actual growing costs aren't anything different from what we're doing now. It's the seed cost that's basically can, you know, be up to $2,000-$4,000 an acre, you know, just depending on what cultivar you're going to use. And these are CBD variety seeds that we're talking about.
Again, CBD oil is a therapeutic oil made from hemp. It's extracted from the flowers and leaves of the plant.
We are looking to put in an extraction facility. It is extremely expensive, we're finding out, to do that. It's about $1.5 million of equipment to process about 150 acres a year. We've always grown our produce and packed it in a box and then shipped it off, and a broker sells it, and then it hits another distributor, and then it hits the supermarket, and everybody's making a quarter or 50 cents off it. And at the end of the day, all these guys are probably making more off it than we did growing it.
So one thing I was wondering is, what have you had to figure out in order to figure out whether hemp is a good idea?
Oh, well, there's a lot to that. What I'm finding out is that a lot of these CBD varieties are cannabis varieties that the THC was bred out of.
Remember, THC is the substance known for causing the high people experience from marijuana. To be a legal crop, hemp has to test below 0.3% THC.
So to me, that's a little scary. You know, the 0.3% threshold, that's not very high. And you know, if you got a cannabis variety that they've bred the THC out of, you know, it's a little risky that it's going to test high. And if it tests high, it's pretty much worthless. You got to destroy it. So to me, that's scary.
Hemp kind of comes with a certain amount of hype, right? So obviously, if you're really going to do it and invest in it, you have to get past that and figure out what the real opportunity is. And I wonder what that looks like to you. Does it look like kind of a niche crop? Or does it look like something that could really go mainstream?
Well, I think it's absolutely going to go mainstream. I think that the fact that how much CBD, the market has increased in the last couple of years, the projections, I heard projections where, you know, $600 million by 2020 and up to maybe $2 billion by 2022. So we're optimistic, and we think our little valley here, I shouldn't say little valley, we're 450,000 total acres of 100% irrigated farmland. I tend to believe that within the next 5 years, there'll be up to a couple thousand acres of CBD cultivar hemp grown, and probably 5,000 to 10,000 acres worth of fiber varieties as soon as a processing plant gets put in.
So industrial hemp could transform agriculture in the Imperial Valley. But even if farmers figure out the economic barriers, there's still something standing in the way. Is it legal to grow there?
Actually, right now, legally, no. Our water district here is called the Imperial Irrigation District. We source our water off of the Colorado River. And basically, so that's a federal source. And they're sticking to that hemp is not federally legal at this point. Even though our state passed its law about 3 weeks ago, they're not really recognizing that. They're kind of waiting for the legalization of industrial hemp across the board to happen. So we are desperately waiting for the Farm Bill to pass.
Here's where the Farm Bill comes in. If the Farm Bill legalizes hemp production at the federal level, Courier hopes it will clear up the legal confusion over whether it's okay to use federal water to grow it, and even what kinds of seeds he can use. You see, the local ag commissioner will only let Courier use seed that's been certified by the Drug Enforcement Agency. But that's all hemp seed for fiber, not CBD, the kind of hemp that Courier was hoping to grow.
I've had 70 acres prepped for 2 months now. I thought the Farm Bill was going to pass before September 30th. Obviously, it didn't. I'm just in a holding pattern. I actually got a call today, and a guy wanted to rent 70 acres of land from me, and I'm thinking about taking that field and renting it to him for romaine lettuce. And just because I'm kind of tired of waiting around. We're just in a holding pattern. We're just waiting for the Farm Bill to pass.
A lot of farmers like John Courier have hopes that industrial hemp will replace crops with high overhead and low returns and help stabilize the faltering farm economy. The seeds of the industry have been planted, even though it's a riskier business with the current federal ban.
You can't use a bank. You can't use crop insurance. These sort of traditional models of ways to build and expand your business are not accessible to hemp farmers.
We're back with Esther Honig from Harvest Public Media.
We know there's a huge labor shortage when it comes to the ag industry, and flowers, which are the made product that people are harvesting, that requires people going in there, cutting this down, cutting the flowers off of the plant. It's a lot of labor. You can't get certain programs like H-2A. Those are the seasonal or the temporary ag workers who come in from foreign countries under a visa program. You can't get that sort of relief as a hemp farmer because your crop is not approved by the federal government.
After hearing all of that, this might sound backwards, but Honig says there are actually farmers in the hemp industry right now who fear they might be worse off if the crop is legalized at the national level. They've built this cottage industry, and they feel like if it goes mainstream, they won't be able to control what happens next.
Folks in the hemp industry who are very anti-establishment, they are really concerned about hemp getting first off into the hands of the federal government, but then also they're very afraid of, you know, when larger corporations maybe start to create GMOs of the hemp plant, like has happened to the soybean or corn. They're basically just, you know, concerned about control and how larger corporations will try and jump in there and take some of that power away from them. Even the farmers who, you know, were born and raised in traditional farm families, the fact that they're growing hemp now puts them, I guess, at a different place than your average farmer. You know, they're taking a risk, they're trying something new. And so these folks might be more likely to be weary of, again, these powerful corporations that are also interested in their product. They may not be looking at it as like, oh man, you know, Coca-Cola might be buying my CBD from me in the near future. They're thinking about it as, I might get run out of business when this becomes a mega cash crop or when someone tries to patent the seeds that I'm using and I'm no longer able to use them without paying someone.
They worry that when hemp hits the big time, they might end up right back where they started, looking for the next great crop to save the family farm. Now let's take a look at where things stand with the 2018 Farm Bill. This episode drops just after the 2018 midterm election, which is fitting because the outcome will influence the next steps for the Farm Bill. If you've been following along, the current Farm Bill expired at the end of September, and as we covered in Episode 7, some programs are running out of money or running out of authority to continue. Negotiations between the House and Senate to pass a final version of the bill were pushed to the background during the campaign season. On Election Day, Democrats gained a majority in the House, but Republicans gained a stronger majority in the Senate. That puts pressure on this Congress to pass a farm bill during the 15-day lame duck session that ends the year. And the pressure is on House Republicans in particular. One of the priorities Republicans have in the House version of the bill is additional work requirements for food stamp recipients. But that's a huge obstacle in the Senate. Here's how Republican Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa put it on a conference call with reporters before the election.
We can't get 60 votes for that in the Senate. So if the House of Representatives want a five-year farm bill, they better fish or cut bait and give up on that.
If House Republicans want to get the farm bill done while they have the majority, they'll probably have to back off on work requirements. If they hold out and the farm bill is extended or there's no deal at all, Democrats could push the reset button and put their own stamp on the farm bill. Something to keep in mind as the midterm results sink in. I'm Grant Gerlach, host of On the Table. If you like our podcast, leave a review on iTunes or wherever you listen. That helps other people find us. We made this episode with producer Marianne Andre, production assistant Carlos Sandoval, and consulting producer Matthew Hodapp. Thanks again to Esther Honig and Harvest Public Media for their valuable reporting. Our executive producers are Chad Davis and Dennis Kellogg. Our music is from Blue Dot Sessions. On the Table is a production of NET, Nebraska's PBS and NPR stations. Thanks for listening.